It is time for our Vents Day segment, your weekly chance to vent your spleen politely on a couple of topics in the news, topics of our choosing. This week, we'll talk about domestic drones and grizzly bear reintroduction. Phone numbers, 800-838-3760 or 541-552-6782 or by email jx@jeffnet.org. First, the drones, unmanned aerial vehicles, or UAVs, they are controversial enough for the ways they are used to fight wars and kill terror suspects. But we're talking about domestic drones today, the kind that allow video production companies to get cool overhead shots without hiring expensive helicopters, the kind of drones Amazon talks about using in the future, maybe to deliver the stuff you buy to your door or window. Or maybe you saw the video online from the guy who flew his drone through a fireworks display on the 4th of July and got spectacular video. The FAA has until next year to come up with rules for drones, but they're clearly ready. The drones are now. A member of Congress wants strict rules on them to protect privacy, and an Oregon company wants to make and sell drone detection software that alerts you when a drone is nearby and might be invading your privacy. What do you think in general about drones? A boon to society or, Annie, get your gun and let's shoot that drone down? Even if the FAA rules or legislation tightly restrict drones, is it simply too late? I mean, is the cat out of the bag? Is the horse out of the barn? Because drones have gotten so well developed and so many people are using them already. Join us on the exchange with your thoughts at 800-838-3760 or 541-552-6782 or by email jx@jeffnet.org. Second topic on this Vents Day, grizzly bears. There's a grizzly on the California state flag, but no actual such bears living in the state. The last time anybody claimed to see one was back in the 1920s. Now the Center for Biological Diversity proposes expanding the recovery plan for grizzly bears in the lower 48 states so bears would be placed in appropriate habitat in California and Oregon and other states, mountains mostly. The closest wild grizzlies at this point are in far-off Idaho and northern Washington. So, would you be okay with grizzlies living in the wild in a forest near you? Or is this just one apex predator too many, and you're okay at stopping at or maybe even before wolves? Let's get your thoughts on grizzly bear reintroduction and domestic drones on Vents Day. 800-838-3760, 541-552-6782, jx@jeffnet.org. Back with your calls in a minute. It's 8:36 on the Jefferson Exchange on Jefferson Public Radio's News and Information Service. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. Since this is Wednesday and it's after 8:30, this must be our Vents Day segment, your chance to vent your spleen politely on topics in the news. Today's topics, the use and regulation of domestic drones and grizzly bear reintroduction and whether there should be limits on that, whether they should be all over the lower 48 states where they used to be, including Oregon and California, where there are no grizzlies at the moment. Let's get your thoughts at 800-838-3760 around the listening area. Our Rogue Valley local number is 541-552-6782. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Here's Paul in Grants Pass. Welcome back to the Exchange on Vents Day.
Well, good morning, Jeff. I'm a firm believer in the right to keep and arm bears.
The Second Amendment, inside
absolutely.
Out, yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think I've got that right. If the environment will support them and it's done in a sane and sensible way, then it makes sense to me to reintroduce the species. I'm not convinced that the habitat is you'd have to show me that the habitat is able to actually sustain a growing population of the species, and that we're not going to have interface problems for people like me who live along the fringe of developed communities and farmers, ranchers, people like that.
People out in the boonies. Do you ever see black bears out where you are now?
Oh yeah, I've had them in the yard. Blackberry mm-hmm. time, by the way. Come by. Pick blackberries. You can take all you want. Just take the canes with you.
Sure.
And yes, I've had them in the yard, mm-hmm. and the dogs handle it. The bears handle it. Usually, it's a significant other that has a problem with it. Mm-hmm. The issue of drones, I'm fine with any kind of drone as long as I can trail along a quad 40-millimeter anti-aircraft gun and crew. It's not a problem. I think that eventually common sense rules will come out. I suspect that we're going to see some abuses going both ways. I think we'll see some really obnoxious uses of it over time, but I suspect that as with everything else that we crazy monkeys do, we'll wind up muddling through.
All right. That's a good hopeful note to leave that on. Paul, thanks for calling. Mm-hmm. Always good to have you on Vent Stay. Let's go to Don and Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vent Stay. We're talking about the uses and regulation of domestic drones and how widespread grizzly bear reintroduction should be.
Well, as we move into the fire season, I recall seeing a little Huey helicopter dip into the McKenzie and dump water on a Coburg Hills fire here in Eugene. And as I watched a presentation about, these little quadcopters that are used for video filming and flying in formation, I thought, why not build and why not have a fleet of tanker drones that are guided by some kind of infrared sensing drone to stop fires right as they start rather than after they spread? I mean, you could. I was talking to a fire specialist at Oregon State, and he said that little Huey helicopter, each run costs $3,000 to $5,000, each drop of water.
Each drop, really?
Yeah, I was astonished. And he said the 747 drop could cost as much as $30,000 a pop. And, you know, that's a lot of money thrown at rather kind of, you know, just not very accurately. But if you think about a fleet of tanker drones that could be directed very accurately using GPS and flying in formation, you could really very accurately and safely and quickly place the retardant, the slurry or whatever they use, very quickly and accurately. I mean, it would cost some money, but it would be much cheaper to stop a fire right at the beginning. And I understand, I acknowledge as a former biologist, I acknowledge the use of fire in the wild forest, but I think, and I was talking to this forester, John Bailey, I think, and the one stipulation he proposed was that the drones would have to have speakers playing Mussorgsky's Sorcerer's Apprentice, if you remember from Fat
Kitchen.
Exactly. Not the Wagner from Apocalypse Now, but the Mussorgsky theme would be appropriate. But I think it's a seriously good idea, and I hope somebody runs with it. I've thrown it out there.
There are things you could do with drones for their flexibility and size that you couldn't necessarily do with a flying machine with a person inside. You have to have greater safety margins, and the machines are generally heavier because they have to carry people, et cetera. So if you change the dynamics somewhat, there are lots of things you can use drones for, obviously.
Yeah, it's the space between outer space and Earth is so vast that it's going to fill up pretty soon with these things, with Amazon delivering packages. And, there's a company called Skyward, I guess, that's going to try to integrate all the uses of them and control, write regulations. And it's a fascinating field. But if you want to see something exciting, there was a fellow who videotaped Sahali Falls using a drone and a GoPro. It's pretty incredible stuff. I don't have the website.
No, I'll see if I can find a link to that and put it up on Facebook. That does sound
fascinating. Well, unfortunately, there were some slackliners up above the falls, if you can believe it. But just the visual possibilities. But anyway, the fire thing, I think we'll see it, the fleet of tanker drones. And
we will certainly.
We'll certainly see as
we move into future fire seasons what the local agencies talk about. And there have been some uses like that already. Don, thanks for the call. Good to talk to you. This is Vent Stay on the Jefferson Exchange. We're taking your polite ventings on a couple of topics in the news. This week's topics are the uses and regulation of domestic drones. Yes, as we were just talking about, there are lots of potential things they could be used for good. They could also be used to reduce your privacy, which is one of many concerns people have about them. There's also obviously the concern about law enforcement or military uses of drones carrying weapons, which many people have talked about before. That's also fair game in this discussion. Join us at 800-838-3760 anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Let's go to Jamie in Medford. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Oh, well, good morning, Jeffrey. This is so sudden. I didn't realize I'd been thoroughly screened yet.
Have you been? Do field screening.
Just put me on hold, and now here I am on the radio.
Okay.
All right, well, both topics, tongue firmly in cheek, Jeffrey, so bear with me. I'm trying to put I'm trying to have some fun with this. Okay, first of all, with regard to the grizzlies, this is going to be in California, right?
Right.
Why don't we do what they do with the highway system there? Why don't we have an adopt-a-grizzly plan where basically if they're going to tag these things and monitor them, they will have a chip installed that has the names of the people that are the foster people for the grizzlies, and that would help compensate for their care and consideration, you know, as they wander across the Golden State there.
Okay, adopt a grizzly. It's not just California, but yes, that's the primary.
And now,
example.
With regard to drones,
yep.
I don't think this would work. I don't think this would fly in California so well, but up here in Oregon, I suggest that we have an open season on drones where we would get a drone tag. And every season, any loose drones that are outside city limits, no, you have to be clear about this, are fair game. And when you bring it down, you can, you know, suitable for mounting or stuffing, as the case may be. And it would just be another hunting project, Jeffrey.
All right, so let the grizzlies live and bring the drones down. So there's the Annie Get
there
Your
you
Drone side we were looking for.
I'll see what...
All right, thanks for that, Jamie. Whoops, hit the button a little too soon on you. Let's go to Pam and Dexter. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day. We're talking about domestic drones and grizzly bear reintroduction.
Hi. Well, as far as the drones go, I just was reading in the paper today, they're talking about hummingbird size, and I've heard there's like bug-sized drones. So that kind of presents a problem because I really do think there's an issue with privacy and that people shouldn't be able to just spy on their neighbors or whomever they wish. But they're so dinky, they could probably get away with it and nobody'd even know. So I guess maybe some kind of legislation where they can't post photos or I don't know. It's tricky, but, you know, like what a previous caller mentioned with firefighting, helping spot fires, and there's so many applications that it would really be helpful for. So it's you know, it has potential to be really great, and it has potential to be really awful. So
yeah, the ones that are the size of a table or something, you can understand. Well, you'd understand those were coming. You'd hear them, things like that. But, yes, I've heard about the smaller ones as well, the hummingbird-sized ones. And, of course, science fiction's ready into the bug-sized kind that, you know, they
well, I had heard years Achilles. Ago that the police were using these little bug-sized things, you know. So who knows? But it is a tricky proposition, and... Fire, or, I don't know. Somebody beware.
Yeah, nice.
And then for the grizzly bear, I'm echoing what the first caller said. I my immediate thought when you had this as a topic is like the black bears are already, you know, the fish population is way down. We've dammed the rivers. We've covered over their habitat. There's bears getting in. You know, we live out in the foothills, and a couple bears that got shot because they were going around people's cabins, and they got. I just don't think I don't think we can support the grizzly bear. We can barely support the black bear. I mean, with climate change, we're in the sixth mass extinction, great extinction, and I just don't see a lot of hope for a lot of species. So to reintroduce the grizzly down here just doesn't really make sense to me. We should just work on maintaining what we have already and boosting the habitats. You know, because we're still paving over. I was just in South Eugene last week, and I couldn't believe all this new development, these huge McMansions. I was like, really, they're still doing that? So, yeah, so I vote no for the grizzly. As much as I love wildlife, I think it's probably the best thing.
If the habitat were there, though, would you be okay with having grizzlies not terribly far away?
Yeah, you know, I go in the woods pretty much every day, and, you know, there was a cougar the other day. I'm not afraid of the wildlife because they typically don't bother humans.
Mm-hmm.
It's the guys with the guns driving all over the place that stop and go, hey, what you doing? That's what I would rather have, you know, a diminished population of.
All right. Thanks for that, Pam.
Too many people.
All right. Thank you. With guns. Right. Got it. Okay. Pam was our guest on the Jefferson Exchange on our Vents Day segment. You can be the guest on the Vents Day segment. The floor can be yours as we talk about whether or not to reintroduce grizzly bears to the wild in California, Oregon, and other states in the lower 48, as has been proposed. There are some bears, obviously, in the lower 48. Closest ones in the North Cascades in Washington and far off in Idaho up against the Montana border. But the proposal from the Center for Biological Diversity is to put grizzlies in lots more places where they once roamed. I mean, not terribly far from where I'm sitting right now, the city of Ashland High School. Ashland High School's Grizzlies is the name of the team. There hasn't been a Grizzly seen in the Ashland area probably since the 1870s, 1880s, I'm thinking. Maybe a little later than that. But join us on the exchange with your thoughts about grizzly bear reintroduction. Our other topic, of course, an always hot one, domestic drones. Whether they can be used only for good, whether they're going to be used to invade privacy, and in any rate, what should be the proper regulations and laws governing the uses of domestic drones, which the FAA is working on to come up with a plan for next year. Join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Here's Dennis and Eugene. Welcome to the exchange on Vince Day.
Talk about drones. I'm not against drones. I think that they have a lot of really good purpose and use that the human population could take advantage of and make our lives better, actually, not worse. But on the other hand, I think that they could become a terrible thing that we would be like a scourge. If you can imagine having fleets of drones, small drones, hovering in the air continuously monitoring everything, and when you look up in the sky, you wouldn't be able to basically see much of anything because there'd be drones going, little drones going in every direction, and there'd probably be some kind of really weird hum continually that you'd hear.
Mm-hmm.
From that standpoint, I think we really need to be careful about, regulating where they can be used and how often they can be used.
I'm totally against
somebody like Amazon or, say, UPS. It's bad enough having hordes of trucks on the roads. Can you imagine hordes of little things flying around delivering packages to everybody?
But if the hordes of drones get the hordes of trucks reduced, does that make your life a little better in that sense?
I don't think so. I mean, I just think that you still have the hordes of trucks. They'd be delivering all the big stuff, and the drones would be delivering all the little stuff. And so instead of just having hordes of trucks going up and down your streets day in and day out trying to deliver stuff, you'd have all these little annoying bugs flying in the air bringing you stuff. I'm not against them.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they can serve a lot of really good purposes, but I don't think that we just need tens of thousands of drones flying in the air all the time.
You do have to stop and think about whether they're going to be bumping into each other and suddenly crashing onto the ground in front of you, in back of you, on top of you. I mean, there are lots of things to think about there if we end up having a whole bunch of drones in the sky. But that's the thing, is it's still very open-ended at this point, very wide open.
Yeah, well, there's no... And people laugh and say people could shoot at them. I actually think that that would happen. I think that people would become so annoyed with them that they would shoot them down, and I also think that people would shoot them down just for the fun of it, just to see if they could hit them and stuff.
Targets of opportunity, sure.
Yeah. So, and what about the birds and the bugs and everything else that's in the air, you know, that we kind of need? Where would they go? It seems like the drones would be flying into the birds, possibly, and
yeah, there's lots of stuff up there that relies on having the airwaves to themselves. All right, thanks for that, Dennis. Good to talk to you. Let's go to Alex in Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day. We're talking about the proper uses and regulation of domestic drones and also about the reintroduction of grizzly bears, whether that should be something that includes Oregon and California. Hi, Alex.
Good morning, Jeff. I got two comments. One is just a historical fact. I believe I have correct that the last grizzly around Ashland was on Grizzly Peak in 1959, was shot by a 16-year-old teenager. That's just in the FYI category.
Okay. And what else you got?
Hello?
Yeah, you're here. Go ahead. What else?
Yeah. And on drones, I'm a pilot, and pilots have a lot of concern about drones, particularly if we get a lot of consumer-operated drones. Right now, you can go out and buy a drone with, you know, no license, no regulation, no rules, you know, small camera-carrying ones. And as pilots, we're very concerned. We cannot see those. They do not show up on air traffic control. And you get any significant number of those around, it's pretty high risk that you're going to bring down a plane at some point and kill people. And so I will limit my comment to that, just to repeat. Pilots are very concerned about the proliferation of drones, particularly in, you know, supposedly, remember CB radio, you were supposed to get a license for that.
Sure.
But once
yeah.
CB got out, everybody was operating them without licenses, and it would be very likely that unless there was some extremely stringent regulation on purchase, you know, almost to the degree of handguns, that there would, as these get cheaper and more common, that we'd have them flying out there with people with not a clue about the fact that there's airspace around this airport.
Yeah, I can certainly see that from a pilot's point of view. Thanks for bringing that up, Alex, because when you think about the fact that flocks of birds can bring down commercial jetliners, as happened with the plane that landed ultimately safely in the Hudson River with Sully Sullenberger at the controls, that was caused by a flock of birds. Think about what drones could do to commercial aircraft as well. So a valid point. Thanks for that, Alex. Let's go to Jay in Arcata. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Hello.
Hi.
Well, hi. I have a comment and a question. The comment is, here in California, we did try reintroducing apex predators, specifically mountain lions. And everybody knows that mountain lions don't bother people, except that sometimes the mountain lions don't know that. And not too long ago, we had a man and his wife who were in a park, and he was attacked by a mountain lion and would have been killed. There's no question about that.
Right, if his wife hadn't stabbed it.
Yeah, his wife beat it. She beat it with
a big
orange branch. He told her, you know, stab it in the eye and it'll go away, but it didn't. And she ended up wailing on this cat's head, and it got off her husband and sort of looked at her as if to say, well, you might do, but then it slinked away. So they don't always know what they're supposed to do. And even more recently, I live in Arcata, and we've had sightings of these cats even on the Humboldt State University campus.
Wow.
So, you know, I think inviting predators down is a sketchy sort of thing. And if we're going to do it, and this is my question, why stop with grizzly bears? We could bring in cobras, pythons. We can bring in all sorts of predators. Thank you.
All right, thanks for that. Well, predators certainly would have existed in the area originally, which grizzly bears did, as did mountain lions, as did gray wolves. And so this, again, is a suggestion from the Center for Biological Diversity in the form of a petition to the Fish and Wildlife Service to expand its grizzly bear reintroduction program to include more areas in the lower 48 states. And we'll be talking about this in a future segment on the Jefferson Exchange as well with the folks from the Center for Biological Diversity. Dave, in Central Point, you have the floor on the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about grizzly bears and drones.
Well, I'll be talking about drones. I've been operating a drone now since April, and I've had nothing but good experiences with the public, and I can certainly understand a pilot's concern with the potential abuse of drones. However, that same abuse can be applied to something as simple as a kite or a bottled rocket or any number of other things that can be lofted into the air.
What do you use it for, Dave?
Certainly not anything commercial at this point. I'm developing a portfolio, and at this point I'm not doing anything commercial. I'm just flying it. I'm trying to get exposure to the public. I'm trying to inform the public as much as possible and, you know, interact with the public as much as possible and give them a real positive experience.
And do you have a camera on board?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Thanks for the details. I want to get one more call. We're going to get one more call before we go. This is going to be Bree in Shady Cove. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day. You got about 30 seconds.
Okay. I just wanted to say that your last caller that talked about the noise got me thinking that maybe for transportation it would be great if they stayed on public highways maybe a certain amount of distance in the air.
Uh-huh.
I just don't agree with them flying over public policy, public property and violating private airspace.
That's an interesting concept to have them stay to travel corridors where there are existing highways. Thanks for that, Bree. Appreciate it. And thanks for everybody who did call and write. And, well, we just had calls. No writing this time. But this has been Vince Day on the Jefferson Exchange. These are topics I'm sure we'll be talking a lot more about, drones and grizzly bears, on future editions of the Jefferson Exchange. Thanks for listening. Thanks for taking part. This has been Vince Day. I'm Jeffrey Riley.